how we filter information, how we make our perceptions, how we react or don't react, what we do and what we don't do. We need to train ourselves to let the Word be the guide for our, even for our emotions, that we train our emotions to follow, not to lead us, but to follow us. Recognize that this is a frontal attack on the United States of America. If you haven't figured that out, this is very, very little about racism now. Anybody notice that? This is racism. Well, that's so last week. That's so 2 weeks. That's so 14, 15, 16 days ago. Now it's become a frontal assault on the United States of America. And also there's a systematic attack on private companies' product lines. Did you know Eskimo pies? Eskimo pies? Anybody ever had an Eskimo pie? Gone, poof. Eskimo pie. They're great. Hopefully they'll just change the name and not make the whole thing go away. Eskimo pies, Land O'Lakes butter, Aunt Jemima pancake syrup, Uncle Ben's rice, Mrs. Butterworth's, they're all out. Next, I just read it yesterday, we're going to be getting rid of the word chief. Chief. Chief of police? That's offensive. Chief of police. In some people's minds, apparently it puts a picture in some people's minds of like an Indian chief. An Indian chief. Well, that's interesting because we're going to look here. We'll notice as we're moving forward that all the way back in Gideon's time, they were the leaders of the soldiers were called chiefs, and the leaders of the tribes and peoples were often called chiefs. Getting rid of the word chiefs because it seems to some to be a racist word. Think about that for a minute. If everyone who found, for example, beer, I don't drink beer, I don't like beer. If they found it offensive, they could band together and pressure those companies out of business. What about banding together to force companies out of business that have a bad word in their name? I've got a nose spray that's called Kick Something. I won't say it. Kick Something Sinus Spray or something like that. So what if everyone could band together and just drive these companies out of their product or out of business? I may not like certain things, but our Constitution protects them and allows them to produce those products. Recognize this as a frontal assault on private business. The obvious assault on private business is throwing rocks and bricks through the windows and burning private businesses down. That's the more obvious one. But now attacking certain products from certain companies. Frontal assault, not just on the United States, but on private business. Violent attacks on people for wearing a Trump shirt or hat have gone on for quite a while now. You ever noticed that? Have been paying attention? But Facebook, for example, increasingly bans certain political speech of some users, but not of others. Facebook has taken sides now. Twitter has taken sides now. They have repeatedly blocked campaign ads. Twitter deplatforms users for calling out Antifa and saying Antifa is a terrorist group or Antifa is the source of all of the violence that we're seeing seeded into the otherwise peaceful protests and certainly constitutional and in many ways justified protests that we have around our country. But calling them out. It'll get you blocked or deplatformed. Both medias have deplatformed users, including a doctor's group, for example, for presenting evidence and that were questioning the effectiveness of masks for the protection of COVID. This is a frontal assault on free speech. Frontal assault on free speech. As critical biblical thinkers, we need to resist the urge to get carried away with the frenzy of the day. Slow down. We need to step back and take a hard look at what's happening. If you still think that today's chaos is about fixing perceived racism in our country, I don't think you're paying close enough attention. Sadly, the masses of sheep in our country are taking their marching orders from the media and from the social media, as well as celebrities. So does anyone remember a certain community organizer president? Anybody remember the president who was a community organizer? Remember that? Does anybody remember Act for America? That was sort of his political arm. According to Wikipedia, Act for America was a community organizing project of the Democrat National Committee. When they were caught in voter intimidation and money laundering and all kinds of other things that damaged their brand name, so they rebranded their name from Organizing America to Organizing for Action. Well, I'm not trying to make this a political moment in our church, in our Sunday mornings, but I'm trying to create paint a picture for you so we understand as Christians where we're at, how to respond, what we need to do. Do you know what that organization is doing today, Organizing for Action? In 2018, they went after gerrymandering. But just this year, January 31, Obama's people launched a nonprofit group called Organizing Together 2020. Have you heard of it yet? Organizing Together 2020. Tom, you follow things like this. Have you heard of that yet?
Yeah, I've been reading what you're saying.
Yeah. To mount a massive, comprehensive effort to win the election this November. And their website is sponsored by none other than, wait for it, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. So what do you think these guys are doing this year? Have you seen a lot of campaigning going on this year? I haven't. Have you wondered why Joe Biden is not campaigning for president? Has that ever crossed your mind? This is a big election for both sides. Has it ever caused you to wonder, how come he's not out there campaigning? It's like he doesn't want it. Oh, sure he was. A year ago, he was debating Elizabeth and Bernie and Peter and Bloomberg. The outcome was never in doubt because it was Biden's turn. But have you ever stopped to wonder how they think they can win this November without campaigning? Think about that. Think about it for a minute. I propose to you this morning that they've never stopped campaigning. They campaigned all the way through Corona, saying Trump was late. Trump should have closed things earlier. If he would have closed things earlier, they would have said, Trump's a fascist. You can't close down our country. Trump should have had enough ventilators. Trump keeps lying about the virus. Even though there's 25 different points of view from experts on the virus. Then they tested the water with the killer bees. Remember the killer bees? Came and went in about a week. Killer bees couldn't get any traction on the killer bees. So they moved on to campaigning through the reopening of our cities across America. And they continue to campaign about wearing masks. They've tried to campaign working the angle of a bad economy, a wrecked economy. But the problem is the economy is surging back, so they're not getting good traction about that. And then, with the murder of the drug addict George Floyd, who happened to be black, they could mount a full court press. Remember, a certain Rahm Emanuel used to say, never let a disaster go to waste, crisis go to waste. Now, I don't suspect that somehow certain people choreographed this crisis. But as people are waiting and watching for a crisis to capitalize on, they found the perfect one in George Floyd. They found the perfect one. And it's even better because there's a bonus that in this they would be able to hide under the cover of racism. Did you know everybody's a racist? Did you know that our country's racist? Did you know that we have systemic racism built right, baked right into the United States of America? And think about this. Even after removing statues and pancake syrup and getting rid of law enforcement and spending $1 trillion on communities and reparations, you will never satisfy that accusation. Racism is an argument I can never win, ever. Think about that. If someone accuses you of being a racist, there is literally nothing you can say and nothing you can do to refute it. Well, but I don't have any bad feelings about any particular group. My best friend is fill in the blank, Indian, Asian, African American. I even married a minority. I married a Canadian. I married a minority. But you're still racist. Why? Because you just don't know it. You're racist and you don't know it. See, you're so racist, in fact, that you're blind to your own racism. Did you know that? This is an argument you cannot win. I cannot win. You can throw money at it. You can erase brand names. You and I can never win this. And it's the perfect cover to engender guilt and raise unlimited money. It works. How many people voted for our last president somehow to prove to themselves they are not racist and prove to the country and the world once and for all that we are not racist and we're going to make up for our years of slavery? Racism is an angle that gets everybody mad. It makes people feel guilty. It ignites passion and it spurs action. And they're campaigning now through the murder of George Floyd. First with protests, then with national rights, and now even the destruction of historical monuments. Think about this. If you trespass in an environmentally protected area, you can go to federal prison for 20 years. Federal prison for 20 years for going into an area that's off limits because of environmental protection. But if you destroyed hallowed monuments in Washington, D.C., like the Lincoln Memorial, the governors will stand back and allow it, and they'll even encourage it. Worse still, even well-meaning godly people have taken their eye off the ball, overflowing with guilt. Oh, I'm so guilty. Overflowing with guilt. They think that the solution to the chaos in America today is again to try to fix racism. That's all we hear. And that's all Christians are focused on. Oh, what we really need to do is redouble our efforts to fix racism. Chick-fil-A's son, the founder's son, urged Christians to wash black people's feet. Did you see that come through? We're also, as white people, we're supposed to wash black people's feet. But you need to realize that as long as we have sinful people, we're going to have racism. Did you know that? There is no such thing as erasing racism. Now, you can certainly beat it back and control it and maybe try to reduce it a little bit and try to help extend compassion and love to those peoples who are victims. Maybe pass some laws that sort of block it and interfere with it. You can never get racism out of somebody's heart without the regeneration of the Holy Spirit through the blood of Jesus. Never going to happen. Nearly everyone in the national prayer movement, of which I'm a part, we've participated in quite a few over the years, national prayer events and things like that, praying for our country, praying through the window, praying for other countries, praying for the United States of America. Nearly everyone in the national prayer movement has already repented of our country's historical racism dozens and dozens of times. We need to, as Christians, stop and pause and think about it. There are calls right now to Christians, Christians, we need to get down on our knees and repent of the racism in our country and the racism. Personally, you're racist, but you don't know it. They believe that thought. You're racism, but you don't really know it. And we need to repent of your own personal racism and national racism. People who've been part of the national prayer movement have repented again and 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 again of racism. I do not believe that God requires repenting of the same significant thing like that again and again without, as though it's never happened, as though you haven't repented of that. As it is, when we repent of that on behalf of our country, we're doing it in a symbolic, supernatural way. I didn't own slaves. You didn't own slaves. So when we repent on behalf of the country, it's kind of a supernatural thing. In the Old Testament, we see that God called on the people and held the people in the country responsible for the wickedness of the overall country at different times. So it's valid. It's certainly biblical that you and I share in somehow a part of the sins of our country. But I don't know about you, but I have repented for the racism of our country dozens of times. But look at all the other things that are going on now. This week caught on fire. I don't know if you've noticed Thursday, the Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch joined the majority in the Supreme Court ruling expanding civil rights protection in the 1964 law to include members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, homosexual, and transgendered group as a protected civil rights class. So that means that federally now, it's been the case for a long time since 1964, you cannot base your hiring decisions on somebody's race. You cannot just, I only hire men. Oh, I only hire women. I only hire handicapped people. Oh, I'm not going to hire any handicapped people. Now, federal precedent, Supreme Court rule, and Gorsuch supported, the LGBT is part of that protected class. Now, I don't know, but I can't change the color of my skin. I can't change that I'm a woman or a man, even though people are trying. But you can change. It is not an innate thing. And scientists have said this again and again and again, that that homosexual behavior and LGBT impulses are sometimes happen so young and so early that they seem like they were innate or inborn. But they're not. And we can see that evidence by the people who get out of homosexual lifestyle and get free of those things. They're not an unchangeable thing. But now Gorsuch joined in. There's also a traveling exhibit now on the evils of America going all over our country. And it's, guess what, sponsored by none other than, wait for it, Iran. Did you know that? Iran. Surprise, surprise. You could probably go up to the Museum of Natural History and see an exhibit on the evils of racism. And the primary financial sponsor is Iran, the country of Iran. Beautiful. Rioters have torn down hundreds of historical monuments under the guise of fighting slavery. But pay attention, they've included monuments and statues of people, lots of people, who've actually fought for their freedom. So what's with that? If this was about racism, truly, we wouldn't be tearing down the monuments of the people who were for emancipation. You see, this is not about removing supposed racists, but it is about disconnecting the United States from its cultural heritage. Another no-go zone has been set up in America. And by allowing it with every passing day, we've literally given real estate to the enemy right here in our own country. Literally given real estate. Governor Paulus, just a couple days ago, he removed the police officer indemnification from liability in Colorado. Did you know that? I don't know. He's passed, I think, over 100 executive orders now in the short time he's been in office. Policemen are quitting all over the country because they're afraid that in the ordinary course of doing their job, they will be killed or even charged, maybe charged for murder. You doubt me? The Black Lives Matter co-founder, Patrice Cullors, states that the goal of Black Lives Matter is to, here's a quote, direct quote, Patrice Cullors, to get Trump out, to get Trump out. That's Black Lives Matter's objective, to get Trump out. That makes Black Lives Matter, it makes it a political organization, doesn't it? And you see celebrities and people giving millions or tens or hundreds of millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter. Did you know if you give to a political candidate, there are strict federal guidelines. You can't just give all the money you want. You can't. I think you max out for a personal of $1,000 or something like that. But you can give $100,000 to Black Lives Matter, or you can give $5 million to Black Lives Matter. These are campaign donations to defeat President Trump in November. This is what Act for America is doing today. This is what the political activist group that was so active during Obama and getting Obama in, this is what they're doing today. They did not go away. And there is a reason why we don't see the current, Biden campaigning. There's a reason we don't see him campaigning. Oh, he's campaigning. Oh, believe me, he is campaigning, but in a little bit different way. As Christ followers, we need to think biblically, to think critically, to guard our hearts, to understand the times, to listen to the Holy Spirit, and let Him and the Word be our guide. It's true, like most satanic lies, that at the bottom of this chaos, there is some truth. Absolutely. That in some communities, some people use their position of authority to mistreat a particular group. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. There's no question about it that some people in some communities are misusing their authority to press to put their thumb down on a hated group. No question. But the other 99% of all police officers, my neighbor across the street, he's a policeman, and after he went through the police academy, you cannot believe the gobbledygook that he was telling me. It was like a celebration of all of the political correctness on the planet. Unbelievable. They are trained forward, backward, inside and out to not do anything that can be perceived in any way, shape or form to be against any particular group. Even to the extent that they teach the, this is, he's a sheriff, they teach the sheriffs in their training. Hey, just keep in mind, the guy that you're arresting, that could be you. That could be your mother. That could be your son. That could be your daughter. Anybody could find themselves in jail. Just by one little tweak, one little misstep in your life. Apply some critical thinking to that. That is not true. You and I are not one little hair away from going to prison. Did you know that, Elaine? If you do the wrong thing on the way home, you're in prison the rest of your life. Poof, just like that. Never saw that coming. That is not true. That's garbage. People who end up in prison have tried really hard to get there in the vast majority of all cases. And yet, the 99% of all the people who are, and police officers and regular people who are not racist, they're not in the category of those who need to be corrected. But I digress, because the renewed accusation of racism is a misdirection. It's a sleight of hand. Oh, I almost got sucked into it again. This is not about racism. This is just the latest vehicle for the purpose of, as Black Lives Matter says, to get rid of Trump this fall. Be wise as serpents, but as innocent as doves, it says in Matthew 16. We are not to be unaware of the devil's schemes. We must be familiar with the way the world works, and we must be, as believers, as Christ followers, on guard for it. So what can we do? What can we do? World's on fire. This thing is chaos. It's bigger than any one of you or me. What can we do? Yes, we can pray for and work toward racial healing and righteousness in America. We can do that. But we can do it without accepting the premise that you're a racist and I'm a racist and the system is racist and the Congress is racist and the country is racist and the business and freedoms and liberties are based on racism. You and I can work toward racial healing and offer compassion and practical solutions without accepting the premise. We can pray and work for racial healing. The Bible makes it plain that we're responsible for the sins of our nation as well as our own personal sins. Desperate times do not call for desperate measures. They call for desperate prayers. This Thursday, the National Day of Prayer Task Force is calling on believers, as we have participated in dozens of times now, to join together in prayer for racial healing, for racial unity in our country. Why? Because at the core of all this, the little bit of truth that's down at the bottom of all this is going on is, yeah, there's pain. There are people who have been mistreated all their lives. And in fact, a lot of people are mistreated a lot of their lives or all of their lives for various reasons, not even necessarily because of their race. Maybe you're fat. Maybe you're short. Maybe you're ugly. I didn't look at you, Paul. Maybe you have something about you that people have ridden you on. Maybe you speak with a speech impediment or slur or lisp or something like that. Maybe you're just not very bright. I didn't look at Tom. Maybe you're just not super, and people have been on you all of your life. The world is full of people mistreating one another for all kinds of reasons. So the second thing that we can do is we must work against Black Lives Matter's real agenda, which is to unravel the United States. And sadly, it breaks my heart, and it should break yours too. Sadly, the black people in this country again, 2020, the black people in this country are being manipulated as a group. They are being used and abused as a group by those who only see them as a group of voters and not as precious human beings for whom Christ died. Precious men and women and boys and girls that God loves. They're being used and abused again. To me, that's the outrage. To me, the racism isn't where they say it is. The racism is how they're treating the black people in this country. I can't believe it. I'm shocked by it. And I'm so frustrated that on the whole, the black people don't seem to recognize this. Now, forgive me because I'm speaking in generalizations, and I'm going to say this because it's being recorded, but I'm going to go ahead and say this, even though you probably know my heart, you know what I'm talking about. Black people are not a race. Did you know? How many racial or how many cultural or ethnic backgrounds make your skin black? Right? What is it? 60 or 80 or hundreds? Or I mean, black people are not a group. We call them a group in this country because we are mistaken. Just like white people are not a group. Scandinavian, Denmark, Holland, England. People all over the world have white skin. White skin is not a race. It's a huge group of races, of quote races, nationalities, ethnic origins. Same thing as black people. Huge group. So the whole we need as critical thinkers to look a little deeper. This isn't black against white, and this all of this is a misdirection. So we must work against Black Lives Matter's real agenda, which is to unravel the United States. It's a misdirection to destroy the rule of law, to release prisoners. Think about this. This is all in the news right now. To open immigration, to erase our borders, to erase the history now of our country and its greatest leaders, most significant leaders, to open the front door for radicals and anarchists to set up real estate in our country, and to deconstruct the rule of law and its enforcement, to undo America and its freedoms and liberties. This is a dangerous and a high-stake game. It's dangerous, and it's a high-stake attempt to bring down America. As serious as racism is, it's way more than that right now. Number three, we must bring wisdom and understanding to the chaos we see around us. And remember, first and foremost, that we are in the, have you ever heard of the silly season? The political season is called the silly season sometimes. It's where things are, one preposterous claim and preposterous, ridiculous thing is built upon another. Like the men of Issachar, we need to be people who understand the times, and we know what we should do. We need to pay attention. As critical thinkers, as Christian thinkers, we need one thing that will help us so much is that if we look at who is aligning themselves with whom, who's aligning themselves with whom, who's China helping in all of this, who is TikTok is China controlled, Chinese controlled. Did you hear what happened? The big rally, supposedly over 1 million tickets sold to Trump's rally yesterday. And it was half empty. And this morning, AOC, not the brightest bulb, AOC. And so that's why I know it couldn't possibly have been her idea. And it couldn't have, she couldn't have possibly realized that dawned on her just since last night. There's no way. This was very deliberate, very systematic. TikTok used applications and invitations to tens of millions of people to go ahead and sign up for a ticket to Trump's rally when they had no intention of going. So signups were from fake emails and fake attendees from all over the world in order to blow up Trump last night. This is the silly season. This is the political season. And these games that are being played are for keeps. They're being played for keeps. But we need people who understand the times as Christ followers. Pay attention to who is aligning themselves with whom. This will reveal everything that you need to know. Here's one for you. Do you know who provided the security at George Floyd's funeral? Do you know who that was? It's in the news. You can see it. The Nation of Islam. The Muslim terrorists are not far from any of this, people. Number four, you and I as Christians, as Christ followers, we need to suit up. What I'm saying is that's what they say in sports. It's time to get out there on the field. Suit up. Get your sports clothes on. Suit up. We're in a battle right now, you and I, against principalities and powers for the hearts and the minds of our neighbors. And for the United States of America. It's time to get in the game, people. Time to get in the game. In fact, it's nearly too late. Pray. Fast. Give. Seek my face, God says. Turn from your wicked ways. Be steady. Worship like it's war. Don't let your hearts melt. So overwhelming. You ever feel like your heart's starting to melt? Oh my gosh, what can we do? What can we do? Judges 6:14, God tells Gideon, go in the strength that you have. Just before the section we read in Gideon, or in Judges, God says to Gideon, go in the strength that you have. You can't do what you can't do. So God says, go in the strength that you have. Whatever you have, that's what you need to use. Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you, God said to Gideon? Am I not sending you? And 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, that's you and I, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Anybody know that our land needs to be healed? Our land needs to be healed. This is a prescription for rescuing our country. Think of it as what the doctor's orders are. You go because you have some sort of sickness, and he says, drink more water, start going to sleep an hour earlier, get off the caffeine, start taking daily walks. He gives you a whole list of things that you can do. Take two of these, once in the morning and once at night. What's that? Don't take three, right. It's a specific prescription that we see. Thanks, Peach. A specific prescription. If my people, that's me and you, will do these three things. What four things? Will humble themselves and will pray. And number three, seek my face. And number 4, turn from their wicked ways. If you've got any wickedness inside of you, if you've got any pet sins or behaviors inside of you that you need to get straight with the Lord, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to do it, as if this was it, as if this is the final 2 minutes, 2 minute warning. Get yourself straight. My grandpa, when I would see him, I wouldn't see him very often as his health was declining. He was getting ready to die. I see him and give him big hugs and so happy to see him. And how you doing, Grandpa? How you doing? He said to me, he kept saying this, he joked, I'm cramming for the final. He was a Christian all of his life. He said, I'm cramming for the final. He was in the Word. He was on his knees. He was praying. He was making sure he was right with God in big ways and small ways and everything in between. I'm cramming for the final. This is the 2 minute warning, people. You and I turn from our wicked ways, and then God will do three things. He will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins, and he will heal our land. Number 5, it's only God that can give us victory. This battle is too big now. Too big for you. Too big for little old me. I do not have, if I was a wealthy man, I do not have enough money to move the needle on this issue, on this chaos, on this bedlam that we see. I do not, if I had $100 million to give, like I think Amazon announced that they're giving $100 million to help the black communities all over the United States, $100 million. It's a drop for a company like Amazon. But if I had $100 million to throw into this thing, I couldn't move the needle, and you couldn't either. We as Christ followers need to wake up and realize, number 5, that it's too big for you. It's too big for me. Now, there's two ways we can go when we see something that's too big for us, too big for you, too big for me. It's helpless and hopeless. We can either give up and do nothing, or we can redouble our time on our knees. We can redouble our desperate prayer before the Lord. Desperate times do not call for desperate measures. Instead, they call for desperate prayers, crying out to God to help us, crying out to God for solutions. God himself is the one that can rescue us. We thought we had a great big victory last year when we got Gorsuch onto the Supreme Court. He had one job. Say that. He had one job. Yep. He had one job. And that was to apply the Constitution in an originalist way to the different things that were brought to the Supreme Court. One job. One. And instead, he did the exact opposite, 180 degrees. He did what we put him on the court to combat, which was legislating using the Supreme Court, using the judiciary to create new laws. And that's what he did by discovering that LGBTQ is now a protected class. He just discovered it. He went along with the majority on that one job. And Trump and millions of others trusted him to do that job. And instead, he legislated from the bench. If you and I ever thought we could beat back the enemy on our own before, if you ever thought about that, if you ever thought that somehow you yourself could make some massive difference just in your own flesh, you can't possibly believe that now. Can't possibly believe it now. God told Gideon to cut down the size of his army in order that the men couldn't possibly take credit for it. For the victory. Couldn't possibly do it. He reduced them from 32,000 to 10,000. And then God reduced them again from 10,000 to 300. Making it impossible in any way, shape, matter, or form for Gideon to get a victory without God's supernatural invention. You and I need to be focused like a laser on the one thing that will rescue us, and that's God's supernatural intervention. And I'm looking for that now. And you need to look for that now. You and I need to pray for that now. You and I need to plead with God and cry out to him. We need to demonstrate to God hearts of purity, hearts of repentance, hearts of caring about something bigger than just me and my life and my job and my family, but even about our country. Now, for those of us who have studied or read and have an understanding of how the United States of America was a supernatural, from the beginning, a supernatural, God plopped it on this earth in a supernatural way as anything he has ever done in the history of the earth. Now, that's been flatly rejected by the non-religious, irreligious. And they try to shape that, inform that, and the country was founded on evil and founded on this and that and this and that. But as Christ followers, if you do a little homework and do a little research, you will find God's miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle in putting the United States here. And if, in fact, God put us here as the United States of America for a purpose, for a calling, for a platform to be a city on a hill, a shining light to the nations of the world, a platform from which over the history of our country has sent more missionaries than any other country in the history of the earth, a platform of operation from which God has advanced salvation around the earth. If you accept that, if you understand that, if you believe that, then you will see this assault on the United States of America, oh, certainly more than racism, oh, way more than that, and even more than a silly old election in November. Oh, it's even bigger than you think. It's even bigger than I think. This is like going for the throat of a major, incredible, spectacular, supernatural work of God. Don't misunderstand me. We've done plenty of things wrong in this country. And if you know me, so you know I don't believe that. We've done plenty of things wrong in this country. Only God himself can preserve us. Only God himself can bring the supernatural, spiritual revival that will purge the wickedness out of the hearts of man. So we're not just asking that God sends a bolt of lightning or something like that, or causes California to drop into the ocean or something like that. That's not what we're thinking. That's not what we're talking about. Only God can cause a supernatural revival to break out like a fire and sweep across our nation. People study revivals to figure out how to trigger it. How do we do it? How do we sort of make this thing happen? And there's all kinds of things that we can do to sort of cooperate with God. But in the end, it's God that does these things supernaturally. And that's the only thing that can rescue us at this point. And we pray that a spiritual, supernatural revival will come. We need to pray that God himself brings attention to himself. That sounds like a silly way to say it. We need to pray that God brings attention to himself. Sounds like he's an egotistical guy. That God makes a spectacle of himself. The way you and I are used to hearing that is that God glorifies his name. Really, do you know that's what we're saying when we say, God, glorify your name? That's all we're saying. God, make a spec, draw attention to yourself, Father God. John 14:1 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, Jesus said. Now believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus said. You believe in God. Now also believe in me. And John 16:33, we looked at it last week. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Father God, I pray. Father God, I pray that you will help us. Help us, Lord God, to repent where we need to repent. Help us, Lord God, to think biblically, to think critically, to pray and work toward racial healing. Help us, O God, to not buy into the full agenda of Black Lives Matter. Help us, Lord, to bring wisdom and understanding to the chaos we see around us, so that we, like the men of Issachar, are people who understand the times. Father God, help us to suit up and get in the game. Lord God, help us to do those things that we can do, going in the strength that we have. We can't go in the strength we don't have. Help us to go in the strength that we have and count on you coming alongside of us to help us. And Lord God, we recognize and declare that you, only you, can bring us help and hope and victory. That victory will come from only your hand. And there will be no question about it when it happens. That it will be because of you. You will glorify your name. You will draw attention to yourself. You will make a spectacle of yourself so that a certain political party or a certain savvy sort of political advisor or some wealthy people binding together to try to combat all of these things, then no political party or agent of one or a group can in any way take credit for your victory, Lord. But only you can take credit for the rescue that we watch and wait for now. And work for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You know, I was looking at this Gideon.
Yeah.